Hey, Riaz.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Doing the best we can right now,
Yeah,
right?
not a lot of social plans these days.
None. None over here. Everyone's like, are you available at, yes, whatever
Yes.
time you
Yes.
say, I'm available. I'm
Yeah.
available. Well, thank you for talking to me. I know you're in Los Angeles. I'm in Florida. How's LA? I mean, with the lockdown and all, is it crazy?
I think it's a little easier than some cities because we're so spread out. We're just
Yeah.
naturally such a big spread out city that there's more space than a New York or Chicago. So I
Sure.
think we have the benefit of that. And it seems like it'll go for most of the summer.
Oh, that's crazy. Well,
I
hang in
know.
there, hang
I
in there.
know.
So thank you again for taking the time to chat with me today. I appreciate it. So I personally know you as a two-time Emmy nominated producer and director. But if you could share with me like just a few of your career highlights. What sticks out to you about your work?
Sure. I think what I'm most proud of and sort of the way I've branded myself is transformational television. So any kind of a project where there's some true transformation that's happening, whether it's someone, their relationship with themselves, their body, their family, their environment, any show where there's a transformation, an authentic, truthful transformation, that's the kinds of shows that I do. One example of that that I loved was called How Do I Look on the Style Network. And that went on for 72 episodes, and it was broadcast in on six continents. The tricky thing about a 72 episode order is the workflow of it, that A, it's managing 15 to 20 episodes at a time, whether ones are casting, shooting, and post-production graphics. That's a huge logistical achievement. The other thing is keeping it interesting. And I think when you have 72 episodes, you constantly, every 10, have to keep challenging yourself, what can I do differently that's going to keep people from feeling like, oh, I've seen this? And you keep having to do it, and no one's necessarily telling you to. You just have to keep innovating because you're on episode 27, you're on episode 38, you're on episode 52. You have to just keep innovating. And so that's the biggest challenge. And I think what I loved about that show was it really was personal rebranding. It was taking people who were stuck, who saw themselves a certain way, a way that wasn't really fulfilling themselves, their life, their love life, their career, and sort of asking, who are you really? And then how can we make the outside match that? And so it really was not just people dressing and looking differently, but people feeling differently about who they were and what they want to project to the world. And that personal deep rebranding is something that was really resonant, and got us our two Emmy nominations.
That's amazing. Yes, and it's obviously very relevant right now too. You're talking about personal rebranding. We're talking about businesses having to rebrand right
Yes.
now. We're talking about Fortune 500 companies having to rebrand at the moment. So it's interesting that sort of your personal branding will also then tie into what we're dealing with in today's
And I don't
landscape.
know of another time, I really can't think of another time in my life where everybody, every business, every consultant, every person at the job needs to take a pause and figure out post-pandemic, what am I? What is my message? What do I need to pivot? It is a universal moment for a pause and a rebrand for everyone and every company
You're
because
absolutely
our
right.
world's changed. Our world has changed in ways we've never had before. And so to really understand who we are, how that world has changed, and how they fit together is a little bit of homework that everyone's going to have to do.
Yes, I love that. I think you're absolutely spot on. So, obviously, with your work in entertainment, what are some, and obviously this is an unprecedented time we're in. No one expected it. We are not really prepared for it.
No.
So, are there any companies, studios, networks, even talent that you feel during this time that we've been at home have really risen to the occasion and been innovative to continue to bring entertainment to us in our homes?
There's a lot of examples, actually. And the one that I really like is John Krasinski and his launching his talk show from home, SGN Some Good News. What the backstory of that is that he has been pitching an idea of doing a talk show for a long time, and it was no for whatever reason or another. And so this opportunity presented itself where everyone was isolated at home, and he said, okay, I don't need high production values. I just need quality content in a way that this environment, this appetite needs. And it was early in the pandemic, and it was very much saying, okay, what good news can we bring? And that was a very savvy way of looking at what everyone was going through and saying, I think this audience needs a pick-me-up more than anything else. And so what I appreciate about what he did was to say, okay, what is something that I've been wanting to do but never had the opportunity? And now the opportunity presented itself. What he traded off was production values. You don't have a lit stage, you don't have stage managers, you don't have lots of cameras, self-shot at home. But what he did is said, okay, the content is what's most important. And I think for entertainment, I think for companies in general, it really is a moment to say, okay, what am I offering into this new world? And I think what he did was very clever and said, okay, I think the new world needs good stories, positive, happy stories, celebratory stories, more than they care about the picture being, you know, super 4X, 4G quality. Right, and I think that is a great trade-off and very, very clever. And again, it was something that he wanted to do for a long time and got no's all around and just took it upon himself to do it now. I think there is a huge opportunity for innovation right now. And there's two kinds. A, what are the stories? What are the stories that people want to hear? And B, with the logistical parameters we have now, how do we film them? How do we deliver them? And those are two opportunities for innovation. What are the stories that the audience wants now? And how do I produce them and create them in a way that deals with the unprecedented logistics that we have now?
Yes. I think that leads me into, you know, my question of, in your opinion, what does production look like coming out of this? What does entertainment look like in general? How does it change?
I feel, and I hope I feel, that people are looking for authentic. That right now, 17 people stranded on an island arbitrarily fighting for money or love feels a little weird right now. It feels a little off-brand for what we're going through, the severity that we're going through. So I'm hoping that we go back to real authentic stories. I hope we go back to positive stories, entertaining. You know, they don't have to be all tearjerkers. They can be really entertaining, but something that shows positivity, that shows people coming together, that shows innovative ways of connecting, because the normal ways of connecting are now being stopped. So how can we connect in different ways? I think that's really interesting. You know, how do we film them is the other one, because close contact doesn't seem like it's going to be possible for a while. Right. So are there things that are self-shot? Are there things that are fixed rig, that you have people on a stage that are at least 6 feet apart? What I found interesting is a couple of networks, including MTV, recently put out to some producers this feeler saying, do you know of projects that have already been shot, documentary series that have been shot and need editing funds? And so it's a really interesting opportunity for people who have projects that have been stuck, or like John Krasinski in Some Good News, something that he's been wanting to carry for so long, and say, okay, is this the moment? Because I know the networks now cannot shoot, so they're looking for things that are pre-shot or self-shot. So someone who has a collection of footage for a documentary is in a great position now than before. Someone who can look at their own family and say, okay, we have something here, is in a great position here. So I think we're going to look at things and maybe forgive some of the production values that we were used to, big shiny lights, big sets, big shiny floors. We may not need that. And so I think it's an interesting opportunity for authentic, touching stories to come through in a way that's not hindered by a lengthy production process. Simple, simple is key now.
That's true. And, you know, it begs the question of the likes of Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, where you're doing this binge watching. Does it sort of change how they release their episodes now? Does it, you know, if they, you know, have something that they shot all of last year, does it make sense for them to then spread these episodes out like, you know, broadcast TV does? Or do you still feel there's a benefit to the binge element?
I think the binge element is here to stay. And I think because we have more control over our time, that there isn't necessarily work hours that are locked as 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. A lot of people are working from home. They're figuring out how to manage it with families. So people don't necessarily have the regular schedule they had before to be able to watch something Tuesdays at 10 p.m. I think binging is here to stay. I think short form binging is interesting. What's an interesting thing is how people, there was a lot of product that was going to the cell phone. Quibi launched recently, which is millions and millions and millions of dollars designed for people on the go on their cell phones. Not doing well because people are not standing in line at the bank or at the airport or on a plane with their cell phone. They have access to their regular screen. So something like Quibi that was specifically designed for people on the go is having a really challenging time in this time. And I think something that was just shot more easily, more simply for people to look on whatever screen they have available to them is gonna be much more useful than something that is curated specifically to the phone.
That's very interesting. Actually, I didn't think of it like that. Well, hopefully everyone's eyes are open, their ears are open, entertainment. I mean, we always need entertainment. Entertainment is a necessity, especially in my home. So let's just hope people, you know, start thinking innovatively and really figure out ways that they can still propel their companies forward just in this new normal that we're
in. And I would say, you know, a lot of producers I know, successful producers who have production companies, long records, often will reach out to someone to help them innovate. That the longer we've been doing something, I've been producing for 20 years, the harder it is to get out of your own way.
That's
and
true.
So I think the idea of utilizing an external company to help you innovate is huge. It's like someone trying to direct themselves. They can't quite see themselves right. objectively. So I think what you do is more useful now than it was a week ago. Because again, there's such a massive shift in the marketplace right. and in what it wants that we're gonna have to have some real creative thinking. And that's gonna require people to step away from what they normally do and to engage a company like yours to help them innovate, to help them brainstorm things that are right under their nose that they can't see is exactly what people need. Exactly what people need right now.
I appreciate that. I think you're right. I think that we don't know how, you know, truly there are a lot of creative ideas buried in us and we just don't know how to get them out. And by talking about different ways of thinking and how your brain works and really just throwing it all out there and then figuring out where those, you know, doable and realistic ideas lie, they're in there. It's in all of us.
They're in there. It's just finding them. And it's really tricky to do it on your own. It's like sort of why people need therapy is you've been in your own head a little bit too much and you need someone to give you guidance from objective, from a third party. And that's what I think consultancy in innovation is so important, because that's that person who comes into you fresh with fresh perspective and sees things you can't see, even if they're right in front of you.
I agree. Well, on your next series, remember that and bring Edison 360 in to help you innovate, please.
There's a lot of things that I'm trying to figure out and crack that I could use 360.
Okay, great.
There are.
Thank you for your time, sir. I really appreciate it.
Nice seeing you.
Talk soon. Bye.